So this morning we'll take up case number 2 of the Mumankan, Hyakjo and a fox. Here's the main case. Whenever Hyakjo delivered a sermon, a certain old man was always there listening to it together with the monks. When they left the hall, he left also. One day, however, he remained behind, and Hyakjo said to him, "Who may you be?" The old man replied, "I am not a human being. In the far distant past, in the time of Kashyapa Buddha, I was the head of this monastery. On one occasion, a certain monk asked me whether an enlightened man could fall again under the chain of cause and effect, and I answered that he could not. Because of this answer, I have for 500 lives been reborn as a fox. Now I beg you to release me from this fox body by saying the turning words on my behalf." Then he asked Hyakjo, "Can an enlightened man fall again under the chain of cause and effect or not?" Hyakjo answered, "He does not ignore the law of causation." The old man immediately awakened and, making his bows, said, "I am now released from rebirth as a fox, and my body will be found on the other side of this mountain. I wish to make a request of you. Please bury me as a dead monk." Hyakjo had the head monk strike the clappers and inform the monks that after the midday meal there would be a funeral service for a dead monk. The monks thought this odd, as all were in good health. There was no sick monk in the Nirvana Hall, and they wondered what the reason could be for this order. After they'd eaten, Hyakjo led them to the foot of the rock on the further side of the mountain, and with his staff poked out the dead body of a fox and had it cremated. In the evening, Hyakjo ascended the rostrum in the hall and told the monks the whole story. Obako thereupon asked the following question: "This old man made a mistake in his answer and suffered rebirth as a fox for 500 lives, you say. But suppose every time that he answered he had not made a mistake, what would have happened then?" Hyakjo replied, "Just come closer to me and I'll tell you." Obako then went up to Hyakjo and slapped him. Hyakjo, clapping his hands and laughing, exclaimed, "I thought that only the barbarian's beard is red, but I see that you are a barbarian with a red beard." That's the case. And this is the short commentary by Mumon. Not falling into the law of cause and effect, why was he turned into a fox? Not ignoring the law of causation, why was he released from a fox's body? If in regard to this you have the one Buddha eye, you will know the former head of the monastery did enjoy his 500 lives as a fox. So, there you have it. What's going on here? This is a really easy koan to get tangled up in. Hakuin listed it as one of the Nanto koan difficult to pass through. It's a rich koan, but it's important not to get too caught up with this monk fox ghost qualities of the story. Let's just say Hyakjo was walking through the woods one day and saw a dead fox, and he dreamed up this story to instruct and to test his monks. So Hyakjo asks the monk, "Who are you?" Good question. The monk responds with his story, but then he gets to the real point. He says, "One day a student asked me, 'Does a man of enlightenment fall under the yoke of causation or not?' I answered, 'No, he does not.'" So this was the classic response. When we enter Nirvana, we escape cause and effect. We enter the unconditioned. So then the monk goes on to say, "Since then I've been doomed to 500 rebirths as a fox. I beg you, give me the turning word to release me from my life as a fox." And just a note here, In Asia, the fox is not the kind of clever creature that he is here. He's more like a rodent with a bushy tail, disgusting, deceitful, lowest of the low of creatures. So tell me, does the man of enlightenment fall under the yoke of causation or not? I love this monk. Can you feel his sincerity, his stuckness, his doubt, and his oneness now with this question? Can you feel what it's like to make mistake after mistake? Here he is, begging Hyakujo for a turning word, at the end of his certainty, still holding to his view of nirvana. Are you like this monk? Do you have a dream of entering a world with no problems? A world of getting the perfect, peaceful life, if only you can get enlightened? What's really meant by getting free of the yoke of causation? Was the monk being punished for his answer? So, to explore these questions, I'd like to leave the monk for a moment and introduce a new character, a woman, who I hope will help us sort this out. This is from a poem by Kim Adonisio. I want a red dress. I want it flimsy and cheap. I want it too tight. I want to wear it until someone tears it off me. I want it sleeveless and backless, this dress, so no one has to guess what's underneath. I want to walk down the street past Thrifty's and the hardware store with all those keys glittering in the window, past Mr. and Mrs. Wong selling day-old donuts in their cafe, past the Guerra brothers slinging pigs from the truck and onto the dolly, hoisting the slick snouts over their shoulders. I want to walk like I'm the only woman on earth and I can have my pick. I want that red dress bad. I want it to confirm your worst fears about me, to show you how little I care about you or anything except what I want. When I find it, I'll pull that garment from its hanger like I'm choosing a body to carry me into this world through the birth cries and the love cries too. And I'll wear it like bones, like skin. It'll be the goddamn dress they bury me in. So, you probably guess that this bodhisattva is not a nun, not one of those wise old Zen women from the hidden lamp koans. Here, we have the other side of the coin, the woman attached to samsara, desire, the other map of how to get the perfect world. Buddhism's kind of a buzzkill, you know? This is going to end badly. She won't find the right dress, or it'll be the wrong color, or she'll find the right dress, but she won't get the reaction she hoped for, or she gains weight, and then she's too fat to be buried in it. Possibilities are limitless. But this is not just about the error of falling hook, line, and sinker into samsara. There's also here, like the monk, a oneness, an engagement, a sincerity here. I love this woman. So here we have two human beings, each focused on a self-serving view of the perfect life. One attached to nirvana, the other to samsara, caught in a dream of being special. The monk, if I get it right, I won't be subject to cause and effect. The woman, if I get what I want, I'll be the foxiest lady in town. Both lost in their own theories and their own stories. And both, I might add, perfect and complete Buddhas in the midst of it all. Having the right concepts doesn't stop your karma. Having the wrong concepts doesn't stop your karma. We're all subject to causes and conditions, Believing I am enlightened, believing in the perfection of nirvana, doesn't stop rebirth as a fox. Believing if we only get the right dress doesn't make the fantasy come true. We think we'll find something other than what is. Do you ever think you'll get something other than what is? Do you ever object and complain and hope and dream and wish and deny and ignore what's right under your nose? If it's all wrong, then how do we get it right? What do we do? If the story of nirvana is wrong and the story of samsara is wrong, then what do we do? Well, here in Sesshin, we learn to open to our karmic lives, mistake after mistake. This is, as Ram Dass said, grist for the mill. Here in Sesshin, we learn to stop the objection to our karma, and how we deal with what arises moment to moment influences the next moment. We learn to be inside our lives, wide awake. We learn in Sesshin to embrace something deeper than what we want, to embrace the fabric. There is no self, just this fabric. Take what is, and to accept the consequences fully, learning over and over to embrace cause-effect without falling into it. Or as Hyakujo said to the monk when asked, does a man of enlightenment fall under the law of causation or not? Hyakujo answered, he does not ignore causation. The conditioned, suffering world of samsara and the unconditioned world of freedom are actually the same world. What happens when you do not ignore causation? Mumon tells us plainly, if you come to understand this, you'll realize how he would have enjoyed 500 lives as a fox. This moment is the only fruit we can know. Sesshin is the perfect place to show up for this moment, to really learn how to be yourself, not your story, but your present moment enough self. When you awake from your separateness, where will you go? You won't go anywhere. You'll realize you're already in your life. Be who you are in the present moment, and then let it go. To end suffering, you must become one with it. To end desire, you must become one with it. You do not end desire by pretending you have no desire. Be exactly who you are, mistake after mistake. That oneness the woman had with the perfect red dress was just the place. But there's also the part about being willing to let it go and be willing to take consequences. Seeing and being just this, and taking the consequences, they'll be all right. Our mistakes are fuel for our practice. Be honest. Life is a process. What we do here matters. You will receive the fruits of your attention. Sometimes it may feel wonderful. Good. Enjoy. Sometimes it may feel terrible. Then go ahead. Cry. Just slog through it the best you can. The material is in each moment. Each moment holds a potential for a new form, something more precious than your theory, something more precious than your story. Hakuin expresses it so well in his poem, form doesn't hinder emptiness. Emptiness is the tissue of form. Form is the flesh of emptiness. Inside the Dharma gates where form and emptiness are not two, A lame turtle with painted eyebrows stands in the evening breeze. Ah, I love those last two lines. Inside the Dharma gates where form and emptiness are not two, a lame turtle with painted eyebrows stands in the evening breeze. Hakuin doesn't leave us with a theory. He gives us a hint about how this form, emptiness, nirvana, samsara, how all these things play out, how they manifest in the world. The end of this koan does the same thing. Doesn't leave us with a theory. Leaves us with a live presentation of the lesson. Obako speaks to Hayakajo saying, the old man gave a wrong answer and was doomed to be a fox for 500 rebirths. Now suppose he'd given the right answer. What would have happened then? Was Obako fooled by right or wrong? Or was he setting a trap for Hayakajo? Hayakajo saw through this and set up his own scene. Hayakajo said, you come here to me and I will tell you. Obako goes to Hayakajo. He knows what's going on and boxes Hayakajo's ears. Hayakajo clapped his hands with a laugh and exclaimed, I was thinking the old barbarian had a red beard, but now I see before me the red-bearded barbarian. Of course, the red-bearded barbarian is Bodhidharma, and this is high praise. In this action, Obako manifested his deep understanding, much to Hyakujo's delight. All the wrestling with koan has just one purpose. It's not for you to get the right answer, not even for you to develop deep understanding. Koan are presented for you to come home to your life, to yourself. Don't try to be an enlightened person. The ideas of enlightened and unenlightened are pure fantasy. Show up just the way you are. This is Sesshin. This is your time. This is your place. This is your life. The great Zen master Hayakajo generously, compassionately offers this koan to you today. What he offers is not about monks and foxes and rebirth and right and wrong. What he offers is an encouragement and a blessing for you to cultivate your already enlightened mind. Please use your practice to carry you through the world. Wear your practice like bones. Wear it like skin. Let your practice be the goddamn thing they bury you in. We'll end there today.